So today we're talking about chapter 6 called Drive the Right Bargain with Life.
Wow. And
a lot of this chapter has to do with building your personal brand, sending out messages to the world that you're a valuable person and you're worth investing in and you're willing to outwork the next person. So I think one of the more interesting elements of this chapter is where you are talking about your time working at the sign department in Coca-Cola.
Yep.
And many nights and weekends, there would only be two cars in the parking lot. Who were the owners of those two cars?
Yeah, one was an obvious and more likely one who happens to have been the CEO and president of the company. This is on any given Saturday or Sunday, but I am so excited and passionate about the particular project that I'm working on. I can't wait till Monday. So I want to go in. And here's what happens with passion and enthusiasm. It was someone who said that nothing of any great significance ever happened without enthusiasm. And so we have this bang up design, something that I've created that we've never done before, graduating colors. And what happens is that the team will buy into your passion and enthusiasm. So it was very common for my employees to join me because I want to get this out. And Monday through Friday ain't enough. Let's make it happen so we can get on to the next. But that's a part of what I call one's personal brand, your work ethic. Believe it or not, I had an immediate boss who would ask me, why do you come over here so often on Saturdays and Sundays? And he said this, Dave, you don't own this company. And he was correct. And I'm sure that the president and CEO who's there getting ready for his Monday, and here's a sign painter who's getting ready for his Monday. Completely opposite ends of that spectrum. And I'd like to think that he probably thought too, why is this guy coming over here? He's playing. But it was passion around the same trademark. Now let's think about that for a second. Passion around the same trademark. He is the president and CEO. I'm just painting signs. But it was our goal to place a red and white insignia within, and this was our just lofty goal, within 1 mile radius of every set of eyes. Well, that's a lofty goal, but that's what we were trying to do. And we were excited about it. Well, I will argue that in 2003, when the owner of the company, Lineage, retired, that was a three-way story. The owner, Crawford Johnson III, retired. His granddaddy started the company in 1902. Claude Nilsson, the president and CEO, replaced him as the new chairman. Larry Thornton elected to the board of directors of that same company. I would say that the passion and the enthusiasm made all the difference. And if I could tell more people, Dave, be interested. It makes you an interesting person. You know, get excited about something. It makes you an exciting person. You know, life is interesting, but only to interesting people. Do you ever think of it that way? You know, life is exciting, but only to exciting people. You know, it's true. Life is dull, if you believe that, boring, lugubrious, but only to dull, boring, and lugubrious people. It is also true, Dave, that life is successful, but only to successful people. We paint our own worlds, and it is as simple as a decision that I'm going to be excited. I'm going to get passionate, no matter what it is that I'm doing. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with enthusiasm. I learned from you in that. You know, you've got an eminent scholar on a school of business like the Harvard School of Business. I know your plate, but the passion and the enthusiasm that you display and demonstrate around Why Not Win, all things Why Not Win, you and I both are just bustling with ideas, and I just so appreciate that kind of partnership and enthusiasm from you.
Well, you're very welcome. And passion's a good word. I mean, to me, it's a passion project. It's a chance to hopefully change lives. And I think we're doing that. One of the things that you cover in Why Not Win sessions with corporate audiences, collegiate audiences, is this notion of You Incorporated. And I was hoping we could talk a little bit about You Incorporated. You told that story about your supervisor at Coke who said, you know, you don't own this company. Yeah. And that's reflected in both of our books. But your thought at the time was, well, yeah, I don't own Coca-Cola United, but I do own Larry Thornton Incorporated, and that company is going to be a success.
That's when you work for life. That's when you understand, Dave, the difference between responsibility and opportunity. And I'm working on a presentation that I like to do around this. Most people who work for Coca-Cola wouldn't be working for Coca-Cola if they were not responsible. But what too many of those individuals are not, they are not recognizing the opportunity. They're not grateful for the opportunity to work for a brand like Coca-Cola. When my boss was promoting me to advertising manager, I didn't know that I was being promoted, but he walked into the sign shop and he handed me a box of business cards. And I picked up, Dave, one of those business cards. I didn't look at the address. I didn't look at the location or the title. None of that mattered. You know what I saw? I saw Larry D. Thornton, my name, next to the most recognized trademark in the world. Dave, that's opportunity. I can do something with this. And so I approached life with taking advantage of that opportunity. And I don't think that it's any small irony that the attitude upon which I took, all department heads had business cards, but did they recognize the opportunity? I did. None of those individuals, including the boss who said, why did you come here so often? Well, today I get a stock report that reads 0.000, three or four numbers, but it does indicate the percentage of ownership that I have of that company. Isn't that just amazing? You know, our attitudes will, Dave, there's so much to all of us. There's so much more to all of us. But if we're not aware of it, then we'll go on. It would be equal to if I were to deposit $1 million into your account and the banker and I agreed that we weren't going to tell Dave, don't let it be reflected on his monthly reports. He doesn't know about it, but he's got it as his. Well, Dave, you would go on living according to what you think you have in your account. We do that every day. We're not aware of what we have and how to tap into that because it's a part of us. All of us have talents. We have abilities. We have a mind, mostly underutilized, and we have time. That is an enormous amount of wealth if we invest them well.
Now, my birthday is coming up. Are you going to surprise me with a big deposit into my bank account?
I'm going to think about that because you'd be worth every penny of it.
One of the passages in chapter 6 I really like, and I thought maybe you could comment on it, is the following. It pains me to think of the number of people who miss their destiny for no other reason than a misunderstanding of this universal agreement between service and reward.
What a powerful line. I can't believe I wrote it, but it is so true. You know, cause and effect would be another way of looking at that. And we here again miss these existential axioms that make a difference in the success that we could otherwise enjoy. You know, we could otherwise enjoy if we knew that we had it. Let me tell you this, because I want you to ask that again, because I would have forgotten by the time. But I want to include this. A friend of mine was in junior ROTC, and they visited Angola, Louisiana. Angola is a maximum, yes, a maximum security prison, the largest maximum security prison in the nation. And the visit happened to have coincided with an art exhibit, sculpture and paintings and drawings. And the ROTC class was just enamored by this talent. You know, they couldn't believe that this was done by inmates. And with sort of a jaded sense of approach, he said, "Oh, we have some of the most talented people that you would find anywhere, but they just don't seem to realize that until they get here." What a sad commentary. You know, I'm too busy doing whatever that I can't recognize my gifts. I don't unwrap them. Here again, would be like if I gave you a birthday gift, even if inside there had been $1 million inside that box, and you say, "Oh man, that is beautiful. Look at the ribbon on that." And then you take it home and you put it on the top shelf in your cabinet. You know, you never unwrap the gift, and people live and die and never unwrap their gifts that they have. Now, to get more specifically at your comment, what was that last piece? I had to get that piece in. These things go so fast.
You're talking about people who miss their destiny because they don't understand the relationship between service and reward.
Right. So a large part of my coming in on weekends and staying late or coming in early, I wasn't necessarily working for Coca-Cola. I was working for life. There's a poem that's in the book, in that particular chapter, I believe. The first two lines goes something like this. "I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more." And it goes through to talk about the complaining that I do. You know, I work for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage, that's powerful, Dave, any wage I had asked of life, life would have paid. You see, we don't invest our gifts so that we maximize. You know, one of the most horrible, how can I say this? One of the most horrifying nightmares that any human being could ever have is to one day be introduced to the person that you never became. And if you think about that, and I would want our listeners to not allow it to be said that I never actualized. I never materialized because I didn't put the work in. I expected to get something out that I didn't put in. I don't know of any bank that you can go and withdraw money that you didn't put money in. But if you put it in and if you leave it in, then you're going to get your money plus. That's the way life works. I wish we could see it that way.
So there's a very compelling story that didn't make it into Why Not Win, but made it into the graphic novel, where you ran into a Coca-Cola delivery guy in a Target, and he was frustrated because a series of people that he had trained had been promoted, and yet he was still in his same, in his view, dead-end position. And you talk about this in terms of five keys to one's personal brand: communication skills, relationship skills, deportment, demeanor, and disposition. Could you talk a little bit about that fellow and where he was falling short, despite, by all appearances, being a nice guy? Yeah.
It was such an unfortunate incident, and I'd have to admit that I didn't handle it very well. It was so quick, but I'm prepared today to take a different approach so that I can. But yeah, so I'm walking into Target. I don't know this gentleman. He's dressed in a Coca-Cola uniform. He's a merchandiser, and they move around from store to store, so I could never catch him and find him to go back and have that conversation. But he came up to me, and he was somewhat dismayed because he wasn't moving. He said, "I've been working for this company for 8 years or 12 years, and Mr. Thornton, I just can't seem to get promoted, and I don't understand that." Well, within the first 15 seconds, I understood clearly why he wasn't promoted. But he didn't. That's the most important piece. This young man looked as if he hadn't seen a barber in a year. He looks as if he's never made or fulfilled or kept a dental appointment. He couldn't put two sentences together if his life depended on it. Someone said that if murdering the English language were a misdemeanor, he'd be on death row.
I think that was Earl Nightingale.
Yeah.
One of your favorites.
And you think about that. You know, he was a young man who had worked hard on the job, but he failed, Dave, to work on himself. Not only that, he didn't even know that that was a thing. Too often I see it all the time. I put the work in. I've been here. I have some modicum and measure of seniority. Why am I not moving? Never checking their attitudes, never checking how they communicate, how they relate to others, how they deport themselves. I mean, we put everything stacked on those five principles. Anyone who will master communication skills, relationship skills, demeanor, deportment, and disposition, and those last three are somewhat relative, but they're different. But if you master those, you can pretty much write your ticket to success. Even an artist like me can do some pretty significant things. You know, how is it that, with an art degree, I get to own 7 restaurants, you know, serve on 3 corporate boards? I know some of my associates who give their right arm to serve on 1 corporate board. How did that happen? Can I tell you again? Relationship skills, communication skills, deportment, demeanor, disposition. And I told this story in a session of Why Not Win to the Coca-Cola team leadership, and I didn't let them off the hook. Sometimes, Dave, we have to first develop the trust. And once we do that, let's find a way to help people with life skills. You had a hard worker who obviously wanted more. But we got to find a way to say, you got to consider some of these things. And you have if we don't have the time, but I can tell you how we did that with one of our employees mm-hmm. at McDonald's. And today she is my star manager. If I could find 5 more of her, but I wish we had time to talk about that story similar to that.
We are unfortunately just about out of time, but I do want to note that in the graphic novel, you mentioned that the fellow that you ran into at Target, yeah, he was to blame, but also his supervisor was to blame. You know, his supervisor should have been more of a mentor and taken him aside and said, hey, let's go to a barbershop, you and I, and just have a couple of hours of grooming improvement and, you know, find him a dentist. I mean, it's not that hard, right? I mean, sometimes these things can be kind of sure. awkward. But it's for the greater good.
Wow. We had that real quickly. We can't get into detail, but we saw this young lady. She had the energy. If you ever saw a diamond in the rough, this young lady was making $9.50 an hour. We saw her energy. We saw her passion and her enthusiasm. She didn't have a smile like the one that you and I have. And we talked to her and paid for her to go to the foundry, a dental facility. Today, she has a beautiful McDonald's smile, and she's running one of our more profitable units, making $65,000 from $9.50 just 2 and 3 years ago, and today before bonuses, and she's about to supervise another store. I mean, what a great story. But we had to help her with life skills to do that, and that's right. What we live for.
Well, and my guess is she's probably the most loyal to Larry Thornton that anybody could ever possibly be, right?
We could hardly make her take off. We can hardly make her take off. And you've got to be cutting the last 5 minutes on these sessions. They're going by too quickly. Are you sure we're out of time?
We are. Like, we are. Good. But there's always another episode.
There's another 20 minutes coming up. Good.
Well, I've enjoyed hearing your thoughts on building your personal brand. And of course, it's something that a lot of people don't pay enough attention to, but hopefully after they see this, this will
yes.
Spark some ideas and maybe trigger some attention there.
Yep.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.